Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Okay. Let us see. We are ready to go. Got everybody on camera. Here we go. Okay, I'm going to get ready to record it because I'm going to record it. He went to go, I think, do something with the dog.
Oh, good. Don't let us get it. Don't let us have it.
Yeah, I said I'll wait till we get good and going so then I can launch it and start recording. Maybe we'll have all the drama on the front end. Here we are.
Hey, Thomas. Am I going to feel okay? Are you going to feel okay when bringing up Rickless, Dickless, Happy?
Miles, you know, of course.
Recording
okay.
In progress.
Okay.
Yep. I got a lot of questions, too. I'm ready to go. I'm trying to launch it on Facebook. Hold on, let's go. Live on Facebook on Instagram. All right, wait a minute, just one more second.
America's
best friend. Okay. That's what they say. I'm moving a little slow on Facebook, but it's coming. Anyway, well, I'm so glad that we're getting to do this.
Well, also, America's best friend.
Yes, they are.
That's what they say.
Okay, we ready? We're ready. Hello, everybody. Today we are here on Impact Moments, and I have the pleasure of having Daniel Taylor, entrepreneur. He's got a lot going on. He's gonna tell us all about it. I told him this might be may need to be in more than one segment because it's a lot, and he has a lot to offer. I'm so excited just to have him on our show. I'm gonna call it. That's what it is. This is a show. This is an interview, and we're interviewing him. He's an entrepreneur. And he is a businessman. And so he has a lot to tell us. He has a nonprofit called Think, Live Happy. And I'm telling you, he's got a lot going on. And hopefully, as you're listening, and if you want to be an entrepreneur, or you are an entrepreneur, and maybe you got everything started, but nothing else is happening. Like, I got a lot started, but nothing is happening. And so we want to make sure that we move things forward because we don't spend money trying to get things started. And so we need to make money to keep things going. And so anyway, that's what I want to say. So anyway, so we're so excited about it. And it's just about birthing your vision, birthing your dreams, and bringing those things to fruition so that you can be able to move forward. So he's here to tell us how he accomplished that and how he is moving forward. Because in this year, we want to move forward. I know everybody's talking about this is the year of double-double, and this is the year we're getting so many proclamations and so many prophecies about it. But we really want to see these things come to pass. We just don't want people to keep telling us this is what's going to happen. We want to make it happen. We want to be that make-it-happen generation along with the younger generation as well. So we got kind of a lot of people on the line today. I don't know. I know I'm a baby boomer. I know Tom is a Gen X. So now, Daniel, you might be younger than all of us, but you might be on that millennial side. So anyway, we're just so thankful to have us all on this phone because, you know, I don't care what they say. I'm going to keep moving until the Lord tell me I'm not moving no more. So, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, welcome, Daniel, to Impact Moments. And, you know, 180 Impact is a nonprofit organization, and our endeavor is to reach generations of all generations But we're, our focus is really on our young people and helping them to move forward and helping them to grow in their communities and be able to be all that they've been birthed and called to be. Because one of the things I found out, you might be in a bad situation, but the bad situation don't have to be in you. And you can still be successful. You can still be, because there's some smart kids in the hood. I'm telling you that. They are brilliant. They are smart. And over the years of the decades of our lives, we have seen a whole lot of things, the people that we didn't even know about that did marvelous things, that did excellent things, and they were brilliant, and they were for that moment in time. And so we want people to be in there to be able to get their moment in time, that they will rise up and be more than what their situation looks like. And so we know that to be true. All right, Daniel, I'm through talking. Thomas, you want to have anything to say before I get going, before I release it to Daniel?
No, we'll get to I'll talk to you.
Okay, come on, Daniel, we're ready.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Denise, thank you so much for inviting me. It's an honor to be here to talk with you guys and your followers and everyone. So throw some questions at me. What would you like to know?
Well, you know, okay, so I think a lot of times as people that want to start businesses, we just don't know, you know, how did you say, this is what I want to do, and then you focus on that thing and stuck to it? Because, you know, like me, and Thomas knows this to be true, and everybody probably really knows me, knows that I can get an idea in 5 seconds if I could just allow that to happen. You know, I can get an idea, and I want to do all of these things. But then you just, like what they say, used to say, you're a jack of all trades and a master of none. And so we want to focus in and master one. And that's the problem for me about focusing in. I mean, it's something that comes to me. It just comes, and I'll be like, oh, my God, is it for somebody else or is it for me? You know, because I don't mind passing it on if that's what I'm supposed to do. But how do you hone in, and how did you hone in and become the entrepreneur for the business idea, the business model that you have built?
First of all, if we need to ask what business you're in, how you got started, and how you overcame those discouragements. That's how I would like to start off. But we need to know who you are first, what you got going on.
Yes.
Being an entrepreneur is exactly how you describe it. It is coming up with a vision, coming up with ideas, and you come up with so many. Know that you're an entrepreneur. Every 5 minutes, you come up with a new business idea. And that's a true entrepreneur. What I do is home health care. So home health care, we take care of mentally ill and disabled individuals. So I don't take care of elderly people. We take care of people who are about 40 years old or older.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, they can't live by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a staff of about 50 people. We have about 60-something residents that we take care of that are scattered around the city. And we've been doing this now for 17 years.
Thank you.
And when you talk about sustainability, your mind has to be focused in order to do this, because it's not easy.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the pandemic, you guys have obviously seen that there's staffing crisis, and it's up and down. Well, can you imagine over 17 years how many ups and downs we've had? For sure, you have to, once you get your idea together, which is my idea with home health care, once you get that idea, you have to stick to it. You have to stick to just that one phrase. And home health care obviously can be a whole lot of components, but I was able to stick to just the one area. And I said I wanted to help those who are disabled. You know, people who, you know, maybe you had a car accident and your brain injury, something like that.
Yeah.
So we want to help those folks. They can really do a lot for themselves. They just need a little. I was a consultant for another home health care business, or a business in general, and I would go in and analyze how you are not making money or how you can't make money, what you need to cut in order to make more money. And that was my whole thing, finance. So when I was doing that, I said, well, why don't I just start my own project, my own business, because then I can run it the way that I want to. Not that I want to be an Oprah, because, you know, some people get into business, they just want to take over and tell people what to do. I wanted to do it because I said, I can put a little spin off.
Mm-hmm.
I can make it a little bit better than the area. Here we are. We started with just one client.
I think that is the one thing that a lot of people, you know, they think about, oh, I want to get off a job, I don't want to work a 9-to-5, I don't want to do this. But if you're an entrepreneur, you're still working. You're not working 9-to-5, you're probably working 7 to 10. It can be just that, you know, just that tedious, yeah, that you're doing that. And so you're not just, you don't get off at 4 o'clock, you know, you don't work, like now I work 8 to 4, you don't get off at 4 o'clock. You're still working past that. And so I think that's some of the things that people have to understand, that when you do have a vision, it takes some time to get to the place where you're back to an 8 to 4. So like you said, you're cleaning up, you're doing the answering the phones, and you're doing all of those types of things. And so you have to get in and do all the grunt work at the beginning so that it can build into what's in your mind and what you see the dream as and what to bring it to fruition. And so I don't think sometimes people are like, oh, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do this. And, you know, it's very easy to get on those models, like, you know, like I'll say Mary Kay, where all of that's already been done. You're just joining in and then you build. But, you know, it's even difficult to build from that because you got to get clients, you got to get all that. But still people think, oh, it's just easy, I'll get in here, and then, oh, it's just going to magically happen. It does not magically appear. It's not ain't nobody waving nothing. You got to get in and roll your sleeves up and get to work. And so I want you to talk from that aspect as well, because I don't think people, you know, when you were in the beginning stages, you know, and I know what it is to take care of somebody, because I took care of my mother and my aunt. So I know how grueling that can be. People, it is not an easy task, I'm telling you, because when you're dealing with people that may still have their mind but they don't have the mobility, that's a whole different thing by itself. So tell us that side of it, how you had to deal with people, even though you are sending people to help them, that sometimes they are still in a different place where they want help, but they're a little mean with it.
A little mean with it, is that the word?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting how you talk about your mother, and you can take care of your mother. Well, we tried, one of the models that I came up with was relieving the pressure from giving your mother a bath. It's not this easy task if you don't understand the ramifications for the weight that's on your shoulders. So you've given her a bath, because you've done that those private things with your mother, that you understand, our roles have reversed. And that's what the business was. And it's not, you know, I can tell you all the jokes and fun parts that we have with the business and the strength, stress that goes along with it. And caregiving is the number one stress. But entrepreneurs really need to understand that hiring people, little lady in there to come to work and having her come every day to work, that's stressful. Dealing with HR issues, dealing with when they get started, dealing with those, and having to keep all the paperwork in place. What you did for, because it's not your mom, you take care of a stranger, really. If you have the documents, everything that you came from, did we put a Band-Aid on? Why did we put the Band-Aid on? Did we call the doctor? Why did we, when the doctor, what orders did the doctor give? What medication? Have all that paperwork. Well, when you become a true entrepreneur, you have to create all those forms. And those were so, it took time.
Yeah.
It took time, you know, of doing it the first time. You say, we're going to document all this piece of paper, and then you change it. And you have to tear it up, and you have to do it all again. And if something comes along, you're going to document that time, like whether it's a
That is so good, because I don't think we think about that. You know, we think about, we see all this stuff and we think, oh, somebody else is doing that. But you have to pay somebody else to do that. It ain't free. It's not free. And then when you're talking about, you know, changing different hats, because if you think about payroll, you got to make sure you're paying the government, the Medicare and the Social Security tax and the federal stuff. So you got to do all that's a whole nother different thing. See, now when you work, you just get that somebody else is doing the job. But when you're the leader, when you're the owner, then you have all of that to do as well. So it's not an easy task. It is a difficult situation. But if you stick to it, you got to have the term they used to use, stick-to-itiveness. You got to have that to be able to be a true successful entrepreneur. And there will be hiccups along the way, and there will be mistakes along the way, but you learn from them. Tell us about some of that as well.
Some of the hiccups along the way, the stick-to-itiveness. I love that. Because you have to be able to lead the pressure from daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And sons, but we're mostly daughters. The daughters are the ones who are taking care of mom. So that's how we first marketed. So we didn't market saying that we would come to your house and take care of them. We marketed saying that we're going to give you a few hours of the week.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you 4 hours where you can go to the mall, or you can go to the park and sit down and sit up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you have those people that don't think that that's a great plan. You're not just moving fast enough. They're in your organization. So we had a lot of that. Where people just believed in the point. They just believed that the way that we were marketing. They wanted us to get flyers. They wanted us to put billboards up. They wanted us to do it their way. And when someone's in your company and they're telling all the people, we're going to do it this way, and you're as an owner or as a leader saying, no, we're going to go this way, that's when you have strife. You have that back and forth arguing amongst your team. So now you have someone taking care of mom, someone taking care of the daughter, the other client that hired us. And now we're trying to take care of the people who have been wounded because they feel that they have not been heard.
Ooh.
So we get a lot of that in the beginning where it was back and forth. And finally, though, and I like this part about once you think myself where I can put on a different hat, that therapist hat, and say, now, come on, we're going to do this. I'm going to motivate you. You're going to win. We're going to do this together. And I was able to pull the teams that we had. We became a very tight team, especially in the early days when all of us were working first, second, and third shift. We were very tight teams. But the one thing I did that I thought was the most impressive was tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like this way, you know, always get off the ship. But if you stay with me, if you stick in here with me, stay on the boat with me, this is where we're going to end up. And we're not going to have one client, but we'll have 7 clients, we'll have 8 clients, but we've got to stay the course. And when you tell people the truth like that, and then they buy into it because there's no gray area in there,
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden they're following you. So you move now from 10 employees to 20 employees. And you only do that because the first 10 employees went out and called their friends and said, hey, this is a great place to work.
That is awesome. I mean, that is really awesome. And we don't even think it. I hadn't even thought that deep about it, like what you just said. That was, you know, we don't even think about that and really having people, because it's important that we have a good circle of people that really catch the vision and they want to help you bring it to pass. And so it's not just about you. It's about them as a whole, because you just gave us a whole blueprint of it was about those 10 as a whole. That you know, that they were important to the vision of the company, and when they accepted the challenge to get on board, then they began to grow, help it to grow as well, because they blossomed out and said, hey, listen, oh, I work for an amazing company. And so because of that, other people, and then it just kept going, which also spoke to the clients that you had as well, because when the clients were satisfied, then they go out there and say, oh, this was a great experience. And then they tell their other friends in similar situations and say, look, I'm a daughter or I'm a caretaker, and I was able to get some relief today. It was such an amazing, so amazing. I mean, because that made a difference. So when I was coming along, you know, and had that task, it was my neighbors that did that for me. You know, they would come, you know, because they were older. You know, we was it was neighbors then. You knew who they were. They knew your children's children. You know, I remember we used to have a neighbor. He would come around the block and he would call your whole family's name out. Or do you know this part? Do you know this person? This person? You know, he knew all that. So they were like that. And so they would come. I'd go to work. They'd come and sit. You know, or something like that. And, you know, we had things. I had to do a lot of cooking back then because, you know, I had to make sure food was available for everybody that came. But anyway, it was such a relief that I got to even go to work and to school because I had that help. You know what I'm saying? So that's an amazing platform or ideal to me. I think it's amazing because I'm telling you, that can be very tedious. And that can be very, just kind of heartbreaking, especially when you don't have anybody coming along. And then, like you said, the roles reversed. Oh, so I was no longer the child. I became the caretaker. So I got an idea. I'm writing about it. And so I'm writing a book called Opposite Roles. And I talk about the journey of that switching. Because I started that journey as a teenager, not as an adult. And so in the teenage stage, it flipped. And I became like the parent, and they became like the children. Yeah.
It's a very difficult time. It is.
Yeah.
And even when someone has an accident, we have a young man that had an accident on the school bus, and he was brain injured. Which means he goes back to being like a third grade level of learning. Understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just extremely difficult to see that, realize that he's older than I am, and I'm telling him, okay, it's time for you to take a shower. Let's take a shower. This is how we take a shower. And because he has a brain injury, you have to do that every day. You have to retell him over and over. So it becomes very difficult. So I can understand the challenge, and that was a big part of being in this industry, is because I understood that challenge. That challenge is people need a break. People can't just go full throttle. They have to understand that this is, you've got to get your mind wrapped around first. That you're not the child, for lack of a better word, the adult.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to make decisions. You're going to think at this time you're going to go to bed, at this time you're going to take medication, at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't always agree with you.
No.
That's stressful. They remind you.
That meanness comes out.
I want to jump in here right quick because I heard something and I want you to kind of expound on it. Starting from a small business and going into talk about these overcoming the fear because sometimes people start a small business corporation. How did that transition? How did you overcome fear of small business transitioning into a corporation? Profitable. So if you understand that, being in business has to be profitable.
So even though you are, I was afraid, I said, well, we're going to start another one. The piece of talent has started another one.
No.
So I said, okay, we're going to start another one. But, you know, when you start the second one, it gets easier. You're still afraid that they're going to say no. You're still afraid that you're going to have some pitfalls that you know what to do with it. But you know so many things. You know how to fill out the paperwork, for one.
Mm-hmm.
You know who to call to get the contract. You know what mothers or daughters need your services to add on to the clientele. So that fear becomes smaller and smaller. It's still there. It's never, ever leaves.
Payroll. And that's got to be a great fear, because not only do you have yours to be concerned about, but then you're concerned about these people that are working for you and their families, and you know how that will affect their families. And I can imagine that is a scary place to be in. But then you think, well, we got to move forward because we got to keep working this business and we got to keep doing it. So payroll has got to be met, and so we need the people to pay on time. Because then you got people they want services, then they don't want to pay for services. Well, that can't happen. We got to have you pay. It's not free. You know, people don't want to pay for nothing. They want a deal. They want to hook up. You know, in business, you can't hook up. You know, it just ain't that. Home Depot ain't hooking you up. They not going to hook you up. Now, they might have a sale every now and then, but they not getting ready to let you go out there for free. It's going to be like 30% off maybe, but they don't want the price done went up. So then when they bring it down to 30%, they're still making what they were supposed to make. We got to understand that. And so that's
just. You can be a non-profit.
Yeah.
You can be a non-profit and a for-profit at the same time.
No.
Which one did you want to be?
Exactly. And then the next thing is, you can't be the only one at the business forever. That is the thing, too, because, you know, people start a business and they're going to do everything. Like, now, I'm guilty at it because, you know, I got to finance the service. Now, I can't do the taxes, do the bookkeeping, go do some mobile notary, and then I can't go over. You know, I said at some point, that's not the goal of entrepreneurship. The goal of entrepreneurship is you got a business, you got a dream, you got a vision, and then you go there because you cannot do it all yourself. You just can't.
People all the time, people ask, you know, tell the story. focus on their expertise on that area that we need to fix. I'm not a nurse. I said, I play one on TV. So I can diagnose you real quickly. But we had to bring a nurse in. And the nurse talked about our training process. She said that your training processes are not getting people prepared. And I had to listen to what she said. Now, remember, I had been doing this for a couple of years before. She's got to say that you don't want to take it personally. What she's saying is bettering the company. So if you can't, you got to move your ego out of the way of
that's so good.
You got to do what's best for the company. And so, yes, my training was not the best training. The best for people needed. You know, I was taking the guys, just taking a blood sugar test. In a few years, you get the blood, you put it on there, you write down the number, and that's it. I just wanted to explain the entire, the beginning and the end. And if that was better, because then they knew and they had less questions.
Information. I'm telling you, because I don't think people realize that, and we, you know, we get all this, and we jump up, we want to do ministry, we want to do, you know, we want to have all these different things that we do, but it takes, it's a lot to it, and it takes some time to get there, and so you just have to do it. I had Tom, if you got any more questions, I got something, I'll get my question answered. This is so good, I'm just so excited about it, you know, I'm just like, oh my God.
I'm so excited to be here.
I am excited for you to be here. Well, you know, I was thinking about, you know, and so in the beginning, you know, a lot of people are so afraid in the beginning because they don't know what challenges may come up or what challenges they have to overcome. But can you tell us about some challenges you overcame and now you've overcome them, but they're not there, and even though they still come up, like payroll's always going to come up, but how do you navigate from that time you had to go to the bank and say, I need a loan to meet this payroll, till payroll is coming in, but what other challenges may come about even with that, you know, from that?
I think the biggest challenge that beginning entrepreneurs want to face is money. That's their biggest challenge. That's their biggest fear. It's money. If you don't have it, unless your mother or your father left $300,000, you know, just to play with it, then you don't have the money to start the business. 401k, they take all the money out of that and put it into the business, and then it gives a tax. So they just know it's about that. So one of the obstacles that we had was money. When I was able to find, and there's tons and tons of people who
take some. Keeping it in there.
This thing is a gift. This is a gift. Right there, we said all the.
You have, I believe, that the people who listen are the ones that are financially secure, the ones that are safe. So they listen. And I always stop people saying, you know, there are always people out there who have bad intentions. But you're going to always be around people who have intentions that are not good for you. You have to learn to decipher, you know, inside of yourself what's good and what's bad. But once you have something to listen, it's going to help you along the way. And reading, you've got to read and learn something.
That is so good, that listening. So many times we think we know, so we're interjecting and saying stuff, and we don't know. I know I don't be knowing.
Well, you already have the experience of spirit to master teacher, right? And nothing worse than you have the experience in trying to tell someone that is cursing you how you got where you are and trying to teach them how to get there. And you're sitting there saying, but. No, you gotta listen. I was as a general manager for one of the high-end hotel groups. The owner of the hotel had been running hotels all of his life. You know, that's from their culture. That's what they do. They from the hotel industry. He was trying to tell me something about the franchise, not just the same little. I told them, shut up. Don't say nothing else about the franchise. Let me handle the franchise.
I like that you said too. You said you went, and we get to about YouTube University. But these are people that have actually done these things, and so you went on there and you listened, and you got stuff from them to be able to move forward. It's something different to talk to people that have never done it, but they want to be an expert at it. You know, they got so much information, and that can be so frustrating. And so, you know, when people, this is my thing, like, you know, my background is in nonprofit. I have a master's degree in nonprofit management. I've done nonprofit accounting, all these types of things. But when people begin to talk to me and they act like I don't know nothing, I shut up. They said, me sit over here, shut up. You know, I guess all my years of working ain't about nothing. But, you know, they pay me good for my years of working when I go someplace and try to get a job. But nevertheless, people will talk to you like you don't know. So I say, well, okay. That's my look right here.
This is
it.
This is what I
say.
Yeah. Let me shut up. So many people in the industry who come to being asked for my assistance, but they don't want to listen to what I have to say. And I have to say, well, they come, you know, the biggest part it really is in most industries is going to be payroll. And they say, well, what did you do? So I start telling them the story of what we did to make it get over the payroll, get a line of credit, what we have. But they don't want to hear that. They want to tell how they came to be, what's wrong with their credit score, what's wrong with this or that in their finances. And, you know, I never talk about any of that. I say, well, do you want my advice? Do you want me to give you step by step, or do you want to tell me what to do? And it shocks them because they're saying to themselves, I know what to do already. And they don't. They go home and they make a mess of it. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but I think a part of being an entrepreneur is learning to learn. Learning to accept that other people have done what you're trying to do or what you're thinking about doing. And they failed, some have failed, and some have been successful. Maybe you're talking to someone who's been successful. They know something that you don't know. You've got to just humble yourself and listen to them.
Oh, that's a good word.
I deal with that all the time and blue state.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I try to educate buyers on the sellers on in the process and sitting there listening to them trying to tell me what their cousin said, and they're not the expert. I don't think I'm hostage, you know, when it comes time to find a purchase a home, when you're offering those counseling classes and those home buying classes and giving that information away for free, they don't want some of that. But they're gonna stop you in traffic and say, tell me the whole process to find out. No, we can't do it all at once. We have to learn to listen
And Daniel said a key word, humble ourselves. People don't want to humble themselves. They just want to, you know, they want to walk like, oh, I know how to do that. I know how to get this done. Well, if you knew how to get it done, you'd be doing it. That's the first thing. And so if you're struggling with how to get it done, that means you don't know and you need some help. So humility goes a long way. Christ taught us that. It's nothing. He taught us that. Humility goes a long way. And so we have to humble ourselves. And we have to respect people. You know, you can't do everything. Now, you know, I know people, they trying to do the books. They don't have no accounting experience. They don't even know how to work Excel. Let's start there. They don't even know how to do that. So you can't even get it in balance because you don't even know how to sum it all up, you know. So we have people with all of this stuff, and I just be sitting over there. And it's all because I don't want to pay nobody else to do it. I don't want to get nobody else to do it. And so they do all of this kind of stuff like that. And so those are just some of the things. And don't nothing get my goal better than you keep calling me, asking me for accounting advice. But yet you don't want, but then you'll go and get somebody else and pay them to do it. That's too much right there. That's too much. But people do it all the time. They'll hold you hostage about what you done put. You got student loan money you paying back for this here. And then they say, I got to keep paying this student loan money about this degree I done went and got and the experience, years of experience I done gathered. But yet you want to go, you know. I've heard Thomas say that they'll hold him hostage about real estate, and then they'll go get another real estate agent. I mean, come on. It's too much. And so, but, you know, I'm just so thankful. And I know we almost almost to our hour, but anyway, I said, Daniel, this is probably going to take maybe more than one, so hopefully you'll come back and do a segment too, and I hope this video will be a blessing to you, so I'll send you this so you can use it for some teaching, you know, something that you need to use it for. You know, I say, hey, do like the rest of them. Get one of them classes and start. I got video. You know, you have somebody edit what you need to edit. But anyway, you know, because we got to, as a community, we have got to come together and begin to work together to bring our people, you know, our community up and out into a better place if we were ever going to do that. And so, you know, like I think years ago, I had an idea. We was all talking about nonprofits. We all had our little corner, you know, that we was going to hold down. I said, well, why don't we come together and do that, come up under one umbrella? Everybody still is the owner of their own piece. You know what I'm saying? You still the CEO over there, this one right here. But we come under the same umbrella so we can get more accomplished. But, you know, that didn't happen. So anyway, but, you know, that was the idea. But, you know, we should have done that because now some people ain't operating at all. But, you know, but we have to want to come together instead of wanting to be in control. Because sometimes it ain't so much about the control, but it is about getting it done and coming together and getting things done. It's been so, you know, do we have any more? I mean, I got about six pages questions, but anyway. We're going to have to see.
Follow the step by step that Google gave you. You know, you can talk to Alexa and you'll be
Yes.
Giving our money away to other people. That's one of the other reasons I became an entrepreneur, because why would I give you, 9 hours a day of my day, plus on Saturday, and just worry about it on Sunday, about, well, giving all that energy to somebody else, when I can put that energy in myself, in my family, create generational wealth for my family, and then once you get that goal set in your head, you figure out how to do it.
That's so important. I mean, we have got to do that. And you know, I heard somebody, somebody had sent me a clip of their pastor preaching, and he said, you don't need no miracle to get no car. He said, you need good credit. He said, that's what you need is good credit. You need good credit. You don't need a miracle. You need good credit. And so many times, you know, as a community, we want, oh, I need a miracle, Lord. You need good credit. I told somebody this today, matter of fact, and I told somebody else this. They were saying, well, I got to build my credit score up. I said, get you a finger. This is funny. Now, this is funny right here. I said, get you a finger hood account. I told him that. I said, because that finger hood is going to report your, if you do right, if you pay it on time, don't get overrun, just buy one thing, pay it off in 4 times, they are going to report to the credit bureau. I told him. I said, and then I said, get you a credit union. Credit union, put you $1,000 in a savings, save your little money up, $500, whatever it's going to be. Borrow against that. I said, don't spend nothing. Now borrow against it. Pay it back. They're going to report to the credit bureau. They're going to raise your score. I was just giving helpful hints. That's how I was giving stuff that I've done for myself. Yeah, and to help build your credit score. We keep going and paying all these people to do these credit things, and we paying them $60 a month when we didn't really have no $60 a month. We pay that on, you know. So anyway, and not that that's not a good business to be in. I'm not saying anything about that. But what I'm saying is there are other ways to be able to build your credit up without having to pay somebody to write stuff off your credit. That's what I'm saying.
Because your credit is your name.
Exactly. It's your name.
It's your name. And I tell people all the time in real estate, if you don't honor your name, you're not going to ever be able to get anything on credit. But your credit is your name.
It's your name.
But when they pull this, when they, first thing they ask you on application, what is your name?
And Social Security number.
When you make that credit application,
and date of birth.
They want to know is your name. Before the Social Security number is.
Yeah, they want to know your name.
It's your name. You have to protect your name.
Mm-hmm.
And your name. You got to make your name great by protecting it. And if you don't protect your name, you won't. Can do good if the only way you're going to have this asset longevity is by protecting your name.
Exactly.
And, if I go to this so-and-so and have to fix my car, if he takes the parts off, new parts off, and put the old ones on there, and give me the car back to the old parts, I'm going to eventually figure out that you jacked my car up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to scatter that across the community. That's going to take the old parts off of your car and put the new parts off your car and put the old parts on there. That automatically destroys your name. It's besides getting business. And you say, you always got to tell the truth.
Yeah. You always got to tell the truth. Because you got people, I had somebody say, I took my car to get it fixed, and they've had it for 6 months, and now somebody done stole it. I said, did nobody stole the car because you done left it over there too long? And so, because people got to do what they got to do. Oh, that was the thing. I said, no, they stole it. They sold it because you left it there too long. So we have got to be good stewards. And this is, and believe me, I pray this all the time, Lord, bless me to be a good steward over what you've given me. And I haven't dotted every I crossed a whole bunch of T's, but I'm telling you, I've gotten better. Excitement to get better to do the right thing.